Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Paramahansa Pivrajakchare, Tatasata Shishivad, Divine Grace, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayet Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki Hare Krishna.
we get another opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, greatest Grantharaj, the king of books, which cleanses the heart of the dust accumulated. And by regularly serving the Srimad Bhagavatam, then devotional service to Krishna becomes established as an irrevocable fact. So today we're reading from chapter 7, verses 21 through 28. So it's a number of verses. So let's read and chant 21 together, and then we'll read the others separately. Krishtvagre Mahadadini Savikarani Anupramat Tepyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahad Adini Savikarani Anukramat Tebhyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahad Adini Savikaranyanukramat Tebhyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhuhu. Shrishtvagre Mahadadini Savikaranyanukramat Devyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahadadini Savikarani Anukramat Devyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahadadini Savikarani Nukramat Tebhyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahadadini Savikarani Anukramat Devyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahadadini Savikarani Anukramat Tebhyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahadadini Savikarani Anukramat Tebhyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu Shrishtvagre Mahadadini Sabikaranya Nikramat Devyo Virajam Ukritya Tamanu Pravishad Vibhu. Kevin? Shrishtadre Maharajini Savikaranyi Mukramat
Devyo Vidram Uttarasya
Devyo Virajam Udhritya Tam Anu Pravishad Vibhu. Word meanings. Shrishtva. After creating. Agre. In the beginning. Mahat Adini. The total material energy. Sa Vikarani.
Along with the sense organs.
Anukrama.
By a gradual process of differentiation.
Tebyaha.
Out of that.
Virajam.
The gigantic universal form.
Udhritya.
Manifesting.
Tam.
Unto that.
Anu.
Later.
Pravishat.
Entered.
Vibhuhu,
the Supreme.
Translation. After creating the total material energy, the Mahatattva, and thereby manifesting the gigantic universal form with senses and sense organs, the Supreme Lord entered within it. Please repeat. After creating the total material energy,
the Mahatattva,
and thereby manifesting the gigantic universal form,
with senses and sense organs,
the Supreme Lord entered within it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Fully satisfied by the answers of the sage Maitreya, Vidura wanted to understand the remaining portions of the creative function of the Lord, and he took the clue from the previous topics. Om Ajnana Timurandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we have Mahatma Vidura And he's been asking some questions to Sage Maitreya, and he's been very pleased with the previous answers. One of the questions being, how is the Lord, who's completely transcendental, related to this universe, which is mundane? And he was fully satisfied by the answer of Maitreya, who explained that the Lord is never mundane and is always transcendental. And now he's asking a lot of questions. We have 8 verses today, I think, or I don't know, maybe 9. And there'll be more and more verses where Vidura is asking many questions. He's very curious, he's very inquisitive. And this shows the duty of the disciple is to put relevant questions before the spiritual master and try to understand everything that needs to be understood. And some of the things that need to be understood are the cosmology of the Bhagavatam. There's ten subjects that every Mahapurana has to cover. Excuse me. They are creation, sarga, and subcreation, visarga. So he's going to be asking now about subcreation, the situation of planetary systems, sthanam, which he's also asking about today in today's verses, protection by the Lord, poshanam, creative impetus, utaya, I think, the changes of manus, manvantara, the science of God, Ishanu Kataha, and going back to Godhead, Nirodha, liberation, mukti, and the Samambonam Ashrayaha. So these are the 10 subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we see that the great Saint Vidura is asking to learn about all of these things. They're important things for us to know. Vidura is, of course, a great devotee. He, although his mother was Shudrani, he was raised as a member of the royal family. He was a great, far-seeing, intelligent politician. He was a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. You heard the story of when Lord Krishna went to his house and he was so overwhelmed with ecstasy that Lord Krishna had come to his house. He was feeding Lord Krishna. He was peeling bananas and feeding the peels to Lord Krishna because he was disoriented by ecstatic love. And Krishna was accepting the bananas, and because of the love of Vidura, he was enjoying very much the banana peels that were being offered to him. And actually, of course, he's Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a great, powerful, empowered devata who's doing the almost inconceivable task of rewarding everyone, every living being, exactly the results of their deeds, of their karma, and sending them to the appropriate next lifetime. So he's a great personality, and nevertheless, he's showing the example of how we should approach a spiritual master with relevant questions and try to understand the subject very clearly from the spiritual master. We were hearing this morning, Mother Mukhya was reading from Giriraj's book about how the essence of the spiritual life is to serve and satisfy the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master is pleased with the disciple's service, he imparts all knowledge, everything that needs to be known. It's said that one who understands Krishna knows everything. It doesn't mean necessarily that he knows, you know, who pitched the final game in the World Series in 1937 or something like that. You know, it's not these details of this endlessly mutable cosmic manifestation, but he knows its relationship to Krishna. He knows how everything is related to Krishna and is able to see things properly as they are. So such a tattvadarshi then can also show a disciple, teach a disciple how to do that. And it involves a change of heart. It's not just a matter of book learning. armchair philosophy, nor is it really a matter of speculation. Some knowledge can be acquired by speculation, but this special knowledge of Krishna has to be acquired by submissive hearing and an attitude of service and surrender. So Vidura is giving us that example. Vidura and Maitreya are giving us that example. One time I was hearing a philosopher speaking about how knowledge is best acquired by a process of dialectic, where one person's speculation goes up against another person's speculation, and then they come up with a new speculation, and then there's another antithesis that comes up. But there's a different kind of dialogue that's in the Vedas, in Bhagavad Gita, in Upanishads, and here in Srimad Bhagavatam, where a qualified disciple is placing relevant questions before a bona fide spiritual master who can then impart this real knowledge, this transcendental knowledge. It's a higher kind of knowledge, and it solves the real problems of life, like old age, disease, and death. So this is the example we're getting from Vidura asking these questions. So I'm going to go through some of these questions. We say, yasya deve parabhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyaite tata hyarta prakashanti mahatmanaha. These, by having implicit faith in the spiritual master and in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then all the truths of the Vedas are revealed in the heart by that process. Or tadvidhi panipatena paraprasnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshanaha. That one should learn the truth in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's teaching about all these yagyas, sacrifices. But the sacrifices, he says, that sacrifices of knowledge are better than just merely sacrificing material possessions. But there's a knowledge in recognizing our relationship with God through sacrifice. And when we know that knowledge, Krishna says, yajgyatva na punar moham evangyasya. Evangyasati pandava. Yena bhutanya sheshani drakshasyatman yatomayi. That when you have that knowledge, that the tattvadarshi, the seer of the truth, can give you that knowledge, and then you'll never again become an illusion, because you'll see that all living beings are part of Krishna, that they're in him and they're his. So in that vein, in that mood, Vidura wants to know all about all the living beings and how they're part of Krishna. So I'll read the next verses, and maybe we'll discuss them a little bit, each one. Yam ahurajam purusham sahasrang yurupahukam yatra vishva ime lokaha svavikasham ta asate. The Purusha incarnation, lying on the causal ocean, is called the original Purusha in the material creations. And in his Virat form, in whom all the planets and their inhabitants live, he has many thousands of legs and hands. Purport. The first Purusha is Karanodakshaya Vishnu, the second Purusha is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and the third Purusha is Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, in whom is contemplated the Virat Purusha, the gigantic form in which all the planets with their different developments and inhabitants are floating. So we understand the process of creation, and it has been being explained, and it will be explained in different ways in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Virat Purusha is that first the Lord creates all the material elements, and they're material elements. So he's completely pure, and he's nothing about him is material. But the material false ego exists, material intelligence, material senses, working senses, plus knowledge acquiring senses, material mind, and the objects of the senses, and the bhutas, the the separated material energies like fire, water, air, and earth that are related to the sense objects. They're related to the sense objects of sound, smell, flavor, texture, like that, and form. And so all these elements are created, and they're part of like one gigantic universal being, which is a material form of that we can understand that its identity is also, we think of the gigantic universe as a supreme person. So that is the beginning of creation, is all these elements, we have them in our bodies too. They're perfectly mixed to cover our spirit soul. But the creation of those elements, they're part of the elements, just like the periodic table, there's gold and there's, you know, iodine and there's, boron or whatever there is, uranium, that there's mind, intelligence, ego, and they're part of the universe. And there's a gigantic universal person who has the total mind and total intelligence, total ego, and that we can, as neophytes, we can meditate on how the universe is a gigantic body of Krishna, and that will help us become personalists and help us. It's the first step, according to Shukadeva Goswami, in God realization. So Vidura wants to know about that. He wants to know about all these things. So here, the Purusha incarnation in the causal ocean is Mahavishnu. He creates the universes. And then the secondary Purusha, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, fills the universe's shell with water, and he lies on them, and his legs are being massaged by Lakshmi Devi, and he's lying on the bed of Shesha. And Kshiradakshaya Vishnu is the super soul in everyone's heart. He also lives in an island in the ocean of milk, which is a Vaikuntha planet, which is the north star, Dhruvaloka. And the Virat Purusha is then this gigantic material cosmic manifestation which is conceived of as a person. And so, text 23. Yasmin dasha vidha pranaha sendriyartin priyas trivit twaye rito yato varnas tadvibhutir vadasvanaha. O great Brahmana, you've told me that the gigantic Virat form and his senses, sense objects, and 10 kinds of life air exist with 3 kinds of life vigor. Now, if you will, kindly explain to me the different powers of the specific divisions. Remember, there was a verse earlier, there's a peculiar purport, but Vidura was saying, I've learned about all the different people and in their higher and lower positions and so forth. And now I want to just hear about the Supreme. But now again, he's starting to ask about the different positions of the different living entities throughout the universe. The 3 kinds of life vigor, of course, are the 3 modes of material nature, that the universal form acts for creation, maintenance, and destruction, with these 3 different kinds of vigors or modes, and that those are also present in all of the material objects, and they're including mind, intelligence, determination. Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and in the 17th chapter about how these 3 modes are situated in, he explains happiness and understanding and action, work in these different modes. And the next verse says, Yatra putraischa pautraischa naptribhih sahagotra jahi praja vichitra Kritaya Asanyabhir Idang Tatam. O my Lord, I think that the prowess manifest in the forms of sons, grandsons, and family members has spread all over the universe in different varieties and species. Prajapatinang Shapatish Chak Lipe Khan Prajapatin Sargang Chaivana Sargang Cha Manun Manvatara Tipan. O learned Brahma, please describe how the leader of all the demigods, namely Prajapati Brahma, decided to establish the various manus, the heads of the ages. Please describe the manus also, and please describe the descendants of those manus. Purport, the human race, or Manushyasar, descends from the manus, sons and grandsons of the Prajapati Brahma. The descendants of Manu reside in all the different planets and rule all the universe. So we'll be hearing about the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu all the way through the fifth canto. It's interesting that because Shukadeva Goswami is anxious to tell about Dhruva Maharaj, he picks Swayambhuva Manu's junior son, King Uttanapada, to talk about first, and then he talks about King Priyavrata in the fifth canto, but and their descendants, but and also in the third canto here, he'll speak about how Swayambhuva Manu, who's the first in the day of Brahma, gave his daughter to Kardama Muni. Devahuti became the wife of Kardama Muni and then gave birth to Lord Kapiladev, who is situated among the Siddhas. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Avatar, who also speaks in the third canto about devotional service and the situation of the universe. So the Manus are very important. They're the descendants of Manus are us, humans. There's 400,000 species of human described in the Vedas, and that includes species in the celestial world and species also in the lower planets. There are subterranean heavenly planets as well. And there are humans that inhabit these, and they're all descendants of Manu. We know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I first instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivaswan, and he's the son of the sixth Manu. So, all right, let me back up. We know that Lord Brahma lives for 100 of his years, and that one of his days is 1,000 cycles taken together. There's four yugas, and that together is called a kalpa or a divya yuga, and 1,000 of those, so each one of those is 4,320,000 years, and 1,000 of those is 112 hours of Lord Brahma, and then he has a nighttime of a similar length, and then he lives 360 years of those days. I mean, I'm sorry, 100 years, 360 days is 1 year, and 100 of those, so 3,600 of those days. 3,600 or 36,000? Anyway, I'm not going to do the math this morning. But in each day, there are 14 manus. So each manu is approximately 72 of those kalpas. And after each manu, a new set of the demigods and everyone appears. So these manus live for a very long time. And the manvantaras are one of the 10 subjects that a Purana speaks of, and Srimad Bhagavatam too. A lot of time is spent on Swayambhuva Manu, who's the first Manu in this day of Brahma. And then the other Manus are spoken of more succinctly. And then in the current manvantara that we're in, it's the Vivaswan, the seventh Manu, son of the sun god. And before that is the sixth Manu, Chakshusha Manu, who's described in, among other things, in the pastime of Matsya Avatar. Or rather, I'm saying that wrong. King Satyavrata, who's described in that, he takes birth as Vivaswan afterwards. Am I correct? Pran Govinda, you have to correct. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting a little mixed up. So, he wants to hear about the Manus and all their descendants, which is everyone, right? Uparyadhash, all human, all 400,000 species of humans. Uparyatash chaye loka bhumir mitra majasate teshang sangstang pramanancha bhur lokasya chavarnaya. O son of Mitra, kindly describe how the planets are situated above the earth as well as underneath it, and also please mention their measurement as well as that of the earthly planets. So Maitreya, the very name Maitreya, means he's the son of Mitra, the particular deva. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kasmin bhagavo vigyate sarvamidang vigyatam bhavati. This Vedic hymn declares emphatically that the devotee of the Lord knows everything, material and spiritual, in relationship with the Lord. Devotees are not simply emotional, as is ill-conceived by certain less intelligent men. Their direction is practical. They know everything that is and all the details of the Lord's domination over the different creations. So, certain Mayavadi philosophers think that speculating on interpretations of the Vedanta Sutra will ultimately lead to becoming one with Brahman, and that that's the important business of sannyasis and people's desirous of liberation, and the devotees who cry and dance and sing and fall on the ground and change their bodies, change color. The great devotees like Lord Chaitanya exhibited these symptoms in full, but devotees have ecstatic symptoms like hair standing on end and tears shooting from their eyes, like Srila Prabhupada did. And they think, oh, these people are just experiencing material emotion, some kind of emotion in the mode of goodness or something like that, rather than understanding that these are the actual transcendental symptoms of the life, living being, Chaitanya, the life force. So Srila Prabhupada is distinguishing that devotees actually know everything. Devotees are not devoid. You won't find a greater philosopher than Jiva Goswami. And it's not that devotees are just simply, even though the devotional path is available for people who aren't great philosophers, the verse in the second chapter of Bhagavatam says, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayarahaitukam, that automatically, it's not that you separately have to cultivate detachment and you have to separately cultivate knowledge, but automatically if you have devotion to Krishna, who is everything, then Krishna automatically gives you all the spiritual knowledge and complete detachment from material sense enjoyment. Six Goswamis, Nidrahara Vihara Kadi Vijito, Chakyanti Dino Shri, they conquered overeating and sleeping and these things which oppress us in our material bodies very much. Force us. We have to sleep every night, or we get, like me, unable to talk very well, fluently. But pure devotees conquer over all of that because they're in direct contact with the transcendental supreme person, who is the Purushottama. Yomam evam asamudho jnanati purushottama sasarvavid bhajate mam sarvabhavena bhavata. The one who actually knows Krishna as the supreme being, superior even to the infallible nature of the spiritual world, they know everything. again, like I said, yena bhutani sheshani. What that knowledge is you know all the living beings, how they are related to Krishna and how they're his. Even the demons are his. They're acting out in a way contrary to his desires. But nobody can actually avoid his desires. Not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. So they're acting as his enemies, and he appears to be inimical to them because that's how they're surrendering to him. So he appears that way. The devas are acting subordinate to him, so he appears to be favoring them, but he's actually equal to everyone. But his equality is expressed in this way, that those who are pure devotees, they get to live in the spiritual world in complete spiritual happiness and bliss, serving him constantly. Tiryan manusha devanam sarishripa patatrinam vedana sarga sanghyuhang garbhas veda vijobhidam. Also please describe the living beings under class of different classifications, subhumans, humans, those born of the embryo, those born of perspiration, those who are twice born, birds. So they're using twice born here because they're born as an egg and then they're born out of the egg. And the plants and vegetables. Kindly describe their generations and subdivisions also. Gunavatarai visvasya sargastit yashrayam shrijatak srinivasasya vyachat shvodara vikramam. Please also describe the incarnations of the material modes of nature, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara, and please describe the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his magnanimous activities. Purport. Although Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshvara, the three incarnations of the material modes of nature, are the principal deities for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the cosmic manifestation, they are not the final authority. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the ultimate goal, the cause of all causes. He is the ashraya, the final rest of everything. So again, these are the subjects of the 10 subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is the ashraya, the summum bonum. And the science of God also has to be there, understanding the different lords of different modes of nature and the different lords of different planets, sthanam, the situation of the different planets. So, Vidura wanted to know about all these things. He wanted to hear about the cosmography as well, the size, the arrangement of the planets, where they're situated, and all the different kinds of living beings. So we have to understand these things in the light of the Srimad Bhagavatam and how it's explained by those who are tattvadarshis, like Maitreya. We should understand these things, that there are different bodies for different kinds of mentalities, and we develop different mentalities by our different kinds of work and our different association with the gunas, the mixtures of the different gunas. And therefore, the universe is full of different living beings. There are living beings situated everywhere. The material scientists speculate that the outer space is just a great vacuum and there's no life there. But we understand from those who can see the truth that the material creation is made for living beings, and that every part of the material creation has living beings there. Just as on Earth, when we examine it, we find that down in the deepest parts of the ocean, inside the hot volcanoes, every part of the Earth, there's different kinds of beings there. And if we can't see them, that's because our senses can't see all of them. But we can know for sure by understanding from hearing submissively. This is how we get this higher knowledge. We can know for sure that there's living beings everywhere with different kinds of mentalities and different kinds of arrangements. And they're all situated within the great body of Vivarat Rupa, all the principal devatas, the three guna avatars, and they're all there. And so this is the way to achieve spiritual knowledge, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, we sing every morning, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasadan Nagati Kutopi, that by getting the mercy of the spiritual master, then we get the mercy of Krishna. And without the mercy of the spiritual master, we can't make any tangible advancement, not in spiritual life, which is the only real tangible advancement. Advancement in material life is temporary. And even if you achieve the planet of Indra, you have to return again when your pious activities are used up. But if you get the mercy of the spiritual master, then you can know everything. You can know Krishna and all the different living entities and all the different planets in the universe and how they're related to him. And it's important to know these things. Sometimes people ask, why don't we just only hear about Krishna and the gopis? Or, you know, but we won't really, unless we're really situated, unless we're totally purified, by fully understanding the first nine cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, we won't get the full effect of hearing the pastimes, the intimate pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. So we want to hear, and Vidura is asking about the pastimes of the Leela avatars and others. So that the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us all these subjects, the science of God, liberation, going back home, back to Godhead, and then ultimately the ashraya, the summum bonum, the highest good, which is the Krishna in Vrindavan. And that's especially told in Srimad Bhagavatam, better than any other scripture. So let's have some discussion, please, and questions and comments.
Thank you for the class. You had mentioned that at a certain point Vidura had asked certain questions, and then he said, well, I want to talk about the Supreme, but then he seemed to be going again to ask about the living entities. I kind of also remember in my reading something that he said that I've heard all about this from Vyasadeva, and it didn't satisfy me.
If we can go back, there's that infamous purport where Srila Prabhupada, of course, Prabhupada is great, but it's the purport where he's saying that black people are lower. And so he's talking about this. People are situated, you know. Black people have a history of, painful history of being oppressed and being lower. But in the very next verse, Vidura says, I've heard about, and remember, he's a politician. He knows about the lower caste, the higher caste, how they're arranged in society, how even different demigods and different planets, how they relate with one another and fight with one another and things like that. But now he wants to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And now, in this stage, he's satisfied that Maitreya is competent to tell him about the Personality of Godhead in detail. And now he's asking about the relationship of all these things in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when he was saying that he wasn't satisfied, I think he had heard about them, but not purely in relation to the Personality of Godhead. And that's why he wanted to, now he was further inquiring. Remember, he was a grihastha, and then he took sannyas, and now he was determined to find out the ultimate truth rather than the truth of the palace politics and all that stuff. So I think that's...
Okay, thank you, I appreciate that. Another question was, so when we hear about 400,000 species, human species, what is your understanding of What are 400? Is it 400?
400,000.
Yeah.
So there's charanas and vidyadharas and siddhas, and there's you know, sages. There's planets in the very top of the universe above the devas, and gandharvas, and there are human beings on this earth that we're familiar with. Subhumans, they're mentioned here. I don't know whether he's talking about like Neanderthal or, you know, I don't know what subhumans exactly he's talking about. I don't think it goes down into the, you know, orangutans and things like that, although they are called the forest men, you know.
So they but include all the demigods and from all the 14 planetary systems?
Well, some of the demigods, I have to honestly admit, I don't want to misspeak by pretending to know something I don't know, but obviously some of the demigods, we hear of their origin being directly born from Lord Brahma and so forth. Daksha is interesting. Daksha was directly born from Lord Brahma. Then he offended Lord Shiva and caused Sati, his daughter, to burn herself in this yogic fire because of her, she couldn't tolerate his insult to her husband. And then he was killed by the personification of Lord Vishnu's anger, Virabhadra, the demon that came from the hair of Shiva. And then he was restored with a goat's head. But then later on, he took birth again in the sixth canto, as a descendant of Swayambhuva Manu. King Barhi, Prachini Barhashat, had sent his sons, the Prachetas, to meditate in the forest, and then Narada Muni came along, or meditate in the lake actually, singing the song that Lord Shiva taught them. Narada Muni came along and convinced the king to just immediately renounce the kingdom before his sons had even come back. And so when they came out, the world was overgrown with trees. Anyway, the Prachetas then took over, and they Daksha was reborn in that line somehow. I don't remember exactly, but yeah. So I don't know that all the demigods are descendants of Manu, but you know, it's because some of them apparently are directly. You know, like Rudra is directly descended. Someone has their hand up, maybe they know but can answer better.
Thank you so much for being so absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. I really appreciate your classes. Manu word or human comes from Manu or Manu's descendants. So whoever is Manu's descendant probably can be one of the human species that includes 400,000. So if a demigod is a descendant of Manu, I believe that would be Manav, otherwise not. And second is, even cannibals, Prabhupada says somewhere, are considered the lowest human species. And when Lord Gauranga said, Adivas, you're behaving like Adivas to Govinda, his personal servant, I believe that is also, Adivas is also kind of, is a human species, one of the 400,000s.
So,
just a comment.
Yeah, I think the way we discuss species in terms of, you know, biology, that a member of one species can't produce a fertile offspring, like a horse can mate with a donkey and produce a mule, but a mule is infertile and you can't make other mules. But when we're talking about the Adivasis, or non-Aryan people, right, there are many different human societies, but this Vedic society, run by Brahmins, according to the principles of the sages that reveal the Vedas, they are very special, that coming from that society, you're learning that Vedic way of life, then one can rise higher to become a pure devotee. Of course, you don't have to be born in that. Adivasis can become pure devotees. Krishna says that papa yonaya, those born in sinful wombs, We could see myself, I'm a Mlecha, I'm born in the Western country. I grew up eating horrible things made from flesh of animals. Mother Devahuti says how wonderful it is. Aho bata swapacho to griyan. Swapacho means dog eaters, right? Like swavid means hogs because they eat stool. So swapacha means those who eat dogs. And she says, te pustapatste juhuvukshashnu arya brahmanujur nama grinanti yete. Aho bata swapacho to griyan. Yajshigvagre vartate nama tubhyam. So she's talking to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's in her, the form of her son, Kapiladeva, and she says that those who chant your names, even if they come from a family of dog eaters, then they are better than Brahmins. They're qualified to perform all Vedic sacrifices. And they're superior to Aryan civilization, the pure devotees who chant Krishna's names. There are other verses like Kirata, Hunandra, Polinda, Poltasha, different kinds of nations or societies, the Greek societies, the Turkish societies. At some points they invaded India. Some of them became devotees. There's a famous column, the Heliodorus column in India that was erected by one of the generals that came with Alexander the Great, or one of the descendants of those generals who ruled a place in, and he declared himself to be a follower of the Bhagavata religion. So they may be also counted among different species, but Prabhupada, in the purport that we were reading, said that the descendants of Manu rule all the different planets. Didn't he say that? In let's see. Chapter 7, text. Yeah, the human race, or Manushya, Sara. So Manu, all the Manushyas, the human beings, are descendants of Manu, sons and grandsons of Prajapati Brahma. The descendants of Manu reside in all the different planets and rule all the universe. So there are descendants of Manu in those different planets. So, for example, Gandharvas, you know, Arjuna had a Gandharva wife, and then his descendants, it's said, the people of Manipur say that they're descendants of Arjuna and Chitra, what is it? Chitrangada, Chitrarata's daughter. So they're also, I think that Gandharvas are also a human species, even though they have wings and they can fly and they can disappear and reappear and do all these things. Oh, we have something from...
I have the class within the class here.
No, I'm just joking.
On this categorization of species, it's a Puranic definition. As you said, it's not necessarily like... Actually, the modern scientists don't have a consistent definition. Even from their perspective, it's too complicated. There's no one definition that can facilitate even the forms that they can see and study. It's very complicated. But as far as being descendants of Manus, it could be different gradations of definition of human being, because Prabhupada, on more than one occasion, would say there's human beings at the beginning of creation, and then they'd say, Lord Brahma, he was there at the beginning of creation. So within that context, you know, it's that human consciousness seems to be the criteria. You know, that some form that facilitates the human consciousness, and as we know, human consciousness is very flexible. You can be the lowest of the low to the highest of the high within the human form facilitates gradations of consciousness. And then in Sharmasundar's conversation with Prabhupada, about Darwin, they were pressing him, what's his species, 400,000, the black, the white, the this, and that, blah, blah, blah. And he was saying consciousness, it's consciousness. And then, they were pressing him, if in one family, one's a devotee, one's an asura, they're two different species, and Prabhupada was, yeah, you know, jata, he was saying, jata. You know, he was considering the word jata. So, whatever the heck you're talking about. Oh, then another thing he brought up is with species, he did a calculation of the modes, three modes times three exponentially. So there's different modes of consciousness within conditional life, and then that human form facilitates a wide variety of modes of expression. But so there could be different gradations of definition to play with here, but in that one conversation with Shamsundra and the other devotees, two brothers in a family, they could be different jata. So it's a big topic here. I'm sure we're all human beings.
Is there a Puranic definition that you're aware of, or some one?
He refers to one Purana, one of the Puranas, constantly for this 8,400,000.
Oh, that says that. But does it give a definition of what they mean by the different species? Or
well, you got to pick up what I'm drawing on is different things he said at different times. And they were in that conversation pressing them. What does it mean, human species? Mm-hmm. Are they classes? Are they cultures? Are they this? Are they that? You know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't like, he was giving them a lot of different answers that maybe.
But we hear of Kinaras and Kimpurushas and Vanaras and, you know, in Ramlila there were also bears that were, you know, and then the son of a bear was Sugriva and Vali, they were monkey, they were Vanaras with tails. So, but are they Manushya? I think they are.
I if they're Vaishnavs, they're beyond the Varnashram system. So I'll go with that. But I don't know. It could be multi, you know, like you go to the dictionary, there's the primary definition, the secondary, and the tertiary. You know, so in one context, descendants of Manu, you know. But it seems there's other contexts where they have that level of consciousness to engage.
So even if they aren't direct seminal descendants of
a Manu. Well, Lord Brahma is not a direct descendant of Lord Manu.
No, Lord Brahma certainly isn't.
Yeah, but
first Manu was his descendant.
Prabhupada referred to him as a human being at the beginning of creation.
Well, I think we should stop here. Unless there's anything else, it's 9:00. And all right, let's Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.